everything's going to change. You know, I'm going to get my confidence. I'm going to find my confidence in different ways. But deep down, what I found out was the only way that you're going to find your confidence and your true purpose is if you go out and do what you fear the most. And for example, when I started this page, I didn't post anything about myself. I didn't want to show my face. And because I was still in that mode of being fearful, of being introverted, being shy and all this, until I realized, like you said, what you said before, there's a bigger purpose to everything. I'm a part of something bigger. And so it doesn't matter whether I show my face or not, but it doesn't, like, it literally doesn't matter. And all this fear that I have can only go if I start to literally just show my face. And this is what I started to do, is just approaching things that I fear head on. And that's the only way you're going to get better.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
As in this episode, I talk to my friend Azeem, who runs Instagram page Found Conscious, and we talk about how he grew his page to 100,000 followers, and more than that, we talk about the type of content he posts. He posts things that not many people are aware of, things such as EMF waves, 5G, Neuralink, some of the things that are coming out in the world that can affect us in a dramatic way. Even some of the music we listen to and the frequencies they play at, it actually affects us subconsciously. And if you're not, you know, aware of it, then you're just basically, you know, suffering from whatever's going on in the world. And a lot of times we don't take responsibility for our lives, and that's why we end up repeating the same habits and patterns that our parents have done, or even those around us. And we start blaming people, we start blaming our parents, we start blaming society, we start blaming our past. And we don't take responsibility for our life and make that change that needs to be done in order for us to live a happy, fulfilling life. And so I really want you guys to, you know, as you listen to Azeem's story and just how kind of he came out of his own introverted self, that you're able to take responsibility for your own life, because that's the only way that you're gonna change. That's the only way you're gonna live a happy life and get out of that shell of thinking that you've had it so bad and that, you know, life sucks because of what you've been through. Because honestly, everyone's been through a lot, but the people who live happy, successful lives are those who don't complain, but actually do something about their life, you know, who actually make those changes that they want in their life. So I hope you guys are really encouraged from this interview. Please send us a DM if this interview has helped you in any way, and also sign up for my emails. The link is in my bio on Instagram at ray.on if you want to see, get, you know, free tips on how to grow your Instagram and use Instagram for your business as well. So yeah, I hope you guys are really encouraged from this interview, and share this with your friends. Leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, and yeah, thanks. Hope you enjoy this interview with Azeem. Hey Azeem, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for hopping on. And you run this page on Instagram called Found Conscious, and you basically share a lot of things, enlightening people about the things that they're taking in, from whether it's from the government or food or even like things like chemtrails you talk about, and also a lot of conspiracy theories, but it's not like they have no reason for them. You know, they have a reason for why you believe the government or pharmaceuticals are trying to actively kill you and destroy you, which is kind of messed up. And like I saw your last post about water, kind of like the thoughts that we think and the things that we say and hear affect our, you know, the structure of our body. And we're made up, was it like 70% water or 80%?
Yeah.
So, you kind of share things that like people don't think about on a day-to-day basis, and just want people to get to know you, especially people who don't know about you, or people who do know about you from your Instagram page but might not have heard your story. So, maybe we'll just start with you introducing yourself and where you grew up and kind of, your story.
Yeah. So I'm Azeem. Yeah, I run Found Conscious. I grew up in the UK. I come from a Pakistani background, so very cultural, also a Muslim background. Growing up, like there was always a feeling inside me, even as a little kid. Like, I remember myself asking questions about, in high school, you know, I was like 13 years old and I was asking questions like, why am I in this place? You know, why am I coming here every day? Like, who's telling me to come here? Like, and I remember there was always something inside me, like as a child, always asking questions about why I'm doing this, why. And I think curiosity is like a massive thing we should all have. Anyway, so I was growing up and I left high school and I went to college. And this is kind of the moment when I was around about 16, 17 that I really started changing my life around and I started getting into this. And so college was the time when I was about 17 where I realized like I wanted to dissociate myself from society. I remember asking people that were, you know, just before going to university, you know, asking my friends, asking people around me, you know, like, what are you doing? Why do you want to go to university? And I quickly realized everybody had the same answer. And that was, I don't know. Nobody knew. And I didn't want to be a part of this culture and this group of people where they're doing things because, like, of conformity reasons, because everybody else is doing it. And so I started drifting away from society as a whole. Everything that I was interested in, I didn't find people interested in it. So I slowly kind of became a lone wolf, I guess, in college. This is where I kind of got into entrepreneurialism. This was kind of my first step into understanding the debt slavery system and the 9-to-5 and how you don't actually need to do that to be successful. And this is something that's been installed with us since birth, basically, that this is how you live your life. You go through college, you get a degree, you get a job, you get a house, you have kids, you live happily ever after, right? But the truth is nobody's happy with that. Truly, most people aren't. And I didn't want that. So yeah, I started getting into entrepreneurialism. At the same time, my father was diagnosed, well, he was diagnosed a long time ago with multiple sclerosis, which is a debilitating illness. And during this time was a really hard time. He was in and out of hospital. His health was getting worse and worse. And this opened my eyes into the pharmaceutical industry, opened my eyes into health as a whole. I seen people, my father, people around me, family, friends, I seen how much illness there was in the world, and I knew there was something instinctively that I knew that this is wrong. This is not how life should be, where everybody's getting sick in their 20s, mid-20s, 30s, you know, whilst they're young. And so this kind of led me down a rabbit hole of, like, the medical industry, big pharma, the food we're eating, and it's where I kind of realized that we can live a healthy and thriving lifestyle if we understand food and nutrition. And so this was kind of like an experience for me that introduced me to the health side of what I post and what I post about. So in this time of college and entrepreneurialism, I decided to not go to university because I wanted to pursue my own dreams, my own ambitions. And I got into something called Forex, which is Forex trading, where you trade currencies. And this moment was, like, when I look back on everything, was the moment that got me into research and got me into conspiracies and actually realizing how corrupt the government is. And I remember my mentor, Matt Travis, he told me to watch a movie called The Big Short, which is about the stock market collapse in 2008, where basically people were pretty much scammed into buying, being allowed mortgages that they really could not afford. And when everything, when all the banks were investing and the housing prices risen, the stock market collapsed as it did, and people were left homeless, people left without jobs, and the country did kind of go into turmoil, not just in America, but in the UK here too as well. we were affected by this. So after I watched the movie, and it's funny when I look back, it's literally one moment that got me into everything. After I watched this movie, I was so interested in like literally finding out how this all happened, who was behind this. I bought whiteboards, I bought notepads, and I was researching it using internet, reading books. And I came to the conclusion at the end, you know, like there's certain people that run, especially the financial industry, other sectors, other industries, the technology industry, that really don't care about us at all. And these are the same people that actually get away with everything and control our lives, the people that usually suffer, the people. And this introduced me to the world of conspiracies. And from there, literally, I started studying, I started researching, and I wanted to get this information out there, and that's why I started Found Conscious.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think in their life, and that's why I think they have that herd mentality, and even watching TV is one form of that. And people, I don't know who even invented TV, but it's like, you know, we're not meant to just, you know, come home from work from a job that we hate and barely get paid enough to pay the bills, and then come home and watch TV and repeat that cycle until like you're dead. And so it's like, if you think about it, like this world is not set up for you to win, or not set up for you to find your purpose or your passion in life, but to really kind of like be like cattle, you know, kind of make you, you know, caged into your own little box. And I think the biggest danger is the mind block, right? Because if you don't have the right education, then you could be living in a box your whole life. And when you die, you're like, and your life flashes before you, then it's like, wow, like, what did I live? What did I do in my life? You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like we were talking earlier, like this is crazier than some movies. Like we're living, literally our life is like crazier than a movie, because there are people at work who really don't care about people, like you said. There's a statue here in Glendale. There's a comfort woman statue. And what happened during World War II was Japanese Imperial Army took like Korean women and raped them, and also other people. But they basically did it in mass. And it was like almost, it was very organized. So they weren't stupid. But they took and raped a lot of women, and it's like there's real evil in the world. And you see that even if you look at history, there's like real evil in the world. And you think about like what are the forces at work, because at the end of the day, I believe we're not just physical beings having an occasional spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having an occasional physical experience. So if you think about it, it's like what kind of spirits or forces are at work here that are actively trying to destroy humans, and what are the forces that are against it, that could fight against this darkness, you know? I think your followers would also want to know, like, are you religious? Do you have spiritual views? What are your views on, like, you know, the universe or God or whatever you think is out there? Like, what are your beliefs?
Yeah. So I grew up in a Muslim background. I grew up a Muslim. I grew up practicing the religion, praying, worshipping God. And to be honest, in my mid-teens, it didn't sit well with me. And I struggled keeping up with the prayers. And, you know, mom telling me, keep up with your prayers. I'm like, I can't force myself to do it. It doesn't align with what I believe and what I think. And slowly as time went on, slowly as I started to find out about the world, I kind of disassociate myself from religion and organized religion mainly, you know. I started seeing it as a tool for control for a lot of reasons. Because I've had debates and I've had talks with religious people, and they fail to see beyond religion. And it's like they live, in a sense, encapsulated in a bubble. and anything that goes against a religious belief, they will not question, they will not look into. And I didn't want to be a part of that. It didn't sit well with me, so I decided I didn't want to be a Muslim. I didn't want to assign myself to a religion, but I am 100% believer in spirituality. And I think this is a misconception in today's day and age, where people believe that in order to be spiritual, you have to be religious. You have to be involved in a certain religion. But you don't. Spirituality and religion is two separate things. You can be spiritual and not religious. And I wanted to take this route because it sat well with me and my beliefs. And, you know, every day I meditate. I do breathing meditation. I do manifestations. And a good form of meditation and spirituality for me is nature, you know, aligning yourself with the very thing that's been put on this earth for us, which is nature, you know, going outside, spending time appreciating the beauty that's on this earth and aligning yourself with that. And overall, like, understanding its beauty, understanding everything about it makes you, in a sense, a more spiritual person as it is. And that's not to say praying and stuff is not real, like, doesn't work. Praying is a form of meditation itself as well. And I say this to everybody, praying is a form of meditation. And so I pray sometimes too. I pray to God because I still believe there is a God. I still believe there is a person who's designed everything, or not a person, but, you know, an entity in a sense, who has created this. And you see it, you know, you see the golden ratio in the signs of intelligent design everywhere, especially in nature. The Fibonacci sequence is seen everywhere. It's this same number that appears all the time, which indicates a sign of intelligent design, that this world was designed by some intelligent being. So I guess I live my life this way because it aligns with what I believe, and it makes me feel more spiritual than if I was assigned to a religion.
For sure. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's interesting because, you know, God was here before religion was ever made, because religion is man-made, you know. So it's like, religion is, I do agree with you, like, humanity, people have used religion in the past, like the Christian Crusades, or like, even, you know, like, you know, 9/11, stuff like that. Like, they use in the name of religion, and they commit horrible crimes against humanity. And it's like, you just know inherently, like, that's not good, you know, like, you should not kill people for your beliefs, you know. And that's and I think even religion, I think I was talking about, there are like forces at work that we don't even see, spiritual forces, like, they're even utilizing religion to hurt people. Think about it. I think also you should question, because I think like, if you don't ever question your beliefs, and you don't question, like, why do I believe what I believe, then it's like you're pretty much brainwashed then, because you're not thinking for yourself.
Exactly.
You know? I grew up Christian or Seventh-day Adventist, but then it wasn't real to me until I realized, like, man, like, I'm not a perfect human being. Like, I have flaws, and I can't love people perfectly. I can't even love myself perfectly, you know, like, so then I was like, yeah, I need help. And and so for me, I believe in Jesus, and it's about a relationship with God. It's not about, like, me trying to work my way to God, like, because of my righteousness, but it's like, it's only through faith in Jesus. And so that's my belief, and for me, that's I think the difference with that is, because every other religion is like, you got to work your way towards God, you got to work your way towards salvation. But it's like, if you think about, if God is a holy, righteous, like, God, like, if he is perfect and holy and righteous, which I think most religions agree, you know, then how could we ever work our way towards that? You know, we cannot ever, ever work our way towards that. You know, you look at the universe and how it's designed and how huge it is, and you're like, yo, like, I don't deserve to even stand before this creator, whoever he is. I think, like you said too, there's like a harmony in everything in nature, like the Fibonacci sequence, the 369. And it's like there's order and there's harmony and there's balance, you know, and everything's connected, and even ourselves are all connected, and human beings, and we're just finding out in quantum physics, like, we're all connected to each other because we're energy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yo, like, we're energy, and whatever energy you want to hold and house in your heart, whether it's like love or hate or bitterness or unforgiveness or all these things are energy, which people don't think about. But and there's blockages of energy, such as like if you have hate towards someone, and that's why I believe Jesus said, like, love your enemies, forgive your enemies. And
yeah,
I don't know any other religious leader who said something like that, but that's awesome. So I think, what is like your main goal with Found Conscious? Like, do you have a bigger vision or plan with it, or where you want to take people, or like, because you're at 100K, right? Do you have like a bigger vision? Like, once, because people are following you, like, they're like, you have a platform where people listen to what you say. So do you have an idea? And I know you're starting off YouTube, so like, do you have like an idea of where you want to take that? Stuff like that.
Yeah. So ultimately, I think everything is applied knowledge, right? It's great we all have this knowledge, and it's great we find out what's actually happening in reality. But if we don't do anything about this, then it's pointless. If we don't act upon what we know, it's pointless. You know, it's just in our brains. It doesn't manifest into anything. So I think end goal is creating something, creating movements, creating an idea that you not only can benefit from knowing about this reality. You know, people think it's dark and they won't go down certain rabbit holes, or they won't go down certain areas or topics because it's scary for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dark information. But once you change your perception, which is what some things that I talk about, you can actually use this information to better and enhance your own life. Because you are stepping away from what they want you to do, and you're thinking for yourself and doing what you need to do and want to do to stay healthy, to stay alive, to stay fit, and stay conscious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the end goal is to have something tangible where people are benefiting from what I'm doing, like taking action and I guess changing their own lives with the information that I provide. Mm-hmm. I also want to do, so for example, I have Found Conscious, right? And this is kind of like, this is encompasses a lot of different topics, and it's not very niche specific in terms of like, it's just a lot of different topics. It includes health, it includes finance, it includes consciousness as a whole. But I do want to branch out into more kind of niche specific ones. So for example, having a health page, where I post more about health stuff. So if people want to know a bit more about health, they can go to Found Conscious Health page. If they want to know more about the banking system or the finance system, or even, you know, getting out of the debt system with the 9-to-5, have this kind of page. And ultimately just provide like a platform where people can really take advice, learn some things and benefit their own lives as well from it. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. It'd be like a whole, like, enterprise or like.
Yeah.
That'd be dope. Yeah, man. I mean, it all starts with the vision, and if you could dream it, then you could create it. You know, and I think.
Oh, for real.
It's kind of scary how powerful we are. Like, how powerful like God made us, because it's like we literally have the ability to create reality with our thoughts, and it's like we could create the future. Like, and that's scary, but also like amazing in a scary way, like amazing in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
like we create the future, you know. So it's like, yo, like, man, so much power. We're like superheroes. We don't even know what power we have, you know.
So
that's awesome. So think, what would be something that you want your followers to know that like they might not have known about you, or like, you know, because I know you have your personal and like you kind of share things too. But what's something that like maybe they don't know about you that you're like, you know, they probably don't know about this, know this about me, but it's true.
I think what I want people to know is that I lived in a family that is going through health problems, right? I'm sure people listening as well, like having somebody there that that you love or that is close to you, and you see them struggle every day through health problems, and it only gets worse, and there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say to help. This kind of feeling and this kind of situation that you're in, you can use this to, and I know it sounds weird, but I've been through this process where I was always questioning, why is this happening, you know, why? And things happen for a reason in your life. I'm a firm believer of this. And my father was ill with multiple sclerosis. His illness went completely down the drain. You know, they don't even know what multiple sclerosis is. It has a lot to do with heavy metals in the brain. And if you look around us today, we're being bombarded with heavy metals in our foods, you know, chemtrails, you know, pesticides, whatever, vaccines as well. So you start looking at the whole agenda, but the main thing is that health is everything. Mm-hmm. Your health. You cannot be, I guess you cannot have, we all have energy, right? It's called our aura. It's the frequency we give off. It's the frequency and energy we give off. You know how you meet that person and you say, oh, that guy's got a nice vibe, or he's got a weird vibe or something. Mm-hmm. That is you detecting his energy. You know, in simple terms, you say vibe, but it's literally you feeling his energy compared to yours and saying, ah, it's good or it's bad. You cannot have a good frequency about you if the inside of you is in turmoil, if the inside of you is not right. And we have to, like, seriously focus on this and make sure our insides are all functioning properly and our health is. Health has always been true wealth for me. And I think that's just something important. I think my followers should know, or my supporters should know, you know, like, you have to focus on this. It's empirical, yeah.
Well, I mean, well, because you've seen your family suffer from health, I guess what are some ways that people can improve their health that, like, maybe they don't even know they're damaging their health by, and some practical things that they could, like, apply?
Yeah, so for example, if there's a person eating processed foods, junk food, you know,
yeah,
made by companies like Monsanto, and, you know, if you're having Pringles every night, made by Monsanto, these are simple things you can do to just stop, because what these foods are basically doing is causing acidity in your body, the mucus forming, and you may not be feeling the damages right now, but in a couple of years or in later on in your life, you will, because it's accumulative and it builds up. And I think I would just encourage people, if you're listening, just to look into and do your own research into fasting, into detoxing, into juices, into a plant-based diet, into understanding how we can actually rid our body of all the diseases and all the problems it already has. And seriously, just put your time and effort into this and understanding it. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Okay, self-education. And check out your content too. So is it just your dad who has multiple sclerosis, or your mom, or is it just your dad who has illness?
My dad has multiple sclerosis, but as of recent, yeah, my mom has been diagnosed with cancer, yeah.
I see, okay. And yeah. Multiple sclerosis, what was that? What is that?
That is a degenerative illness. Basically, what happens is the myelin sheath. So you know how our nerves in our brains are covered in something called the myelin sheath, which keeps the electricity. It's a conductor, basically, for the nerves. Mm. So it keeps the electricity, flowing. Damages the myelin sheath, or the myelin sheath starts to deteriorate in the brain.
Yeah.
which means that certain nerves stop working.
yeah.
in the brain. My dad lost a lot of his eyesight, and he lost his ability to walk, and it happens over time. And obviously once this happens, a lot of other complications happen because you're unable to walk and unable to exercise. Your immune system is compromised. So even if you get the slightest flu or, you know, something simple that our body deals with on a daily basis, if you have multiple cirrhosis, then it affects you even 10 times worse because your body's not capable of fighting it off. So there's two stages to it.
There's two stages,
primary stage and secondary stage. Primary stage is something manageable. This is where you just have relapses where, like, once every year, or it can happen once every 8 months or once every 3 years. You basically, your body goes through a relapse, an episode where you basically just, you're bed bound for like a week. It just, your body shuts down, but you usually get back up. And once you stop having relapses, you are in the secondary progressive stage, which means your health basically just deteriorates day by day. Mm-hmm. There's no medicine, there is no surgery, there's nothing that they can do at the moment to stop it. But there wasn't any disease like this, you know, 50, 60 years ago. This is a fairly recent illness. Largely, a lot of it is to do with heavy metal intake. And our exposure to heavy metals is one of the reasons that can cause or at least trigger something like multiple cirrhosis here. Mm. And we're starting to see heavy metals being bombarded with them, as you know, through foods, through geoengineering projects, the atmosphere itself, through vaccines.
Yeah, and you're like, well, I live in a, this is heaven on earth. I'm just kidding. But it's kind of like, it's kind of surprising. I think if we truly knew how dark this world is, like, we'd just die, like, right away. But thank God, like, he protects us, like, from knowing. But then again, it's also a chance for us to, like, shine the light, you know? Because if there's no darkness, like, I believe God made both light and darkness, you know? And he said it's good. So, like, he has a purpose for both, you know? Like, who am I to question God, you know? Like, he knows. Because before, you know, people are like, how is there a God? Like, there's so much suffering and, like, there's so much evil, or like, why is this, like, why are my parents suffering, you know, stuff. But it's like, at the end of the day, like, we don't know everything, but am I just going to complain about it my whole life and be a victim, or do I want to grow from this and, like, get something out of it? Which, and my parents were divorced, you know, my parents split when I was in high school, and, you know, I never really grew up with a very, like, stable childhood, just because my parents were fighting a lot, but, and finances and stuff. But it's like, you know, I look back now and I see that those times of suffering as a child was what grew me and was what helped me to be strong so that I could probably do what I'm doing today. You know, if that never happened, I would probably never have thought I'm supposed to do something with my life. You know, I probably would have been okay with just doing something I hate for the rest of my life, because, like, there's no suffering enough that I'm like, no, this is not, I didn't go through all this for nothing. You know what I mean? So, like, that was a big reason why I left medical school too, because I'm like, I did not suffer all this in my life to just pay bills and die. Like, that's not why I went through all this. I'm not gonna waste what I went through. You know what I mean? But also, and also because I love adventure. I love asking questions too, like being curious. So I can't just take orders and do what someone says and just get into debt, which is a bad investment in the first place. I think school is a bad investment if you don't know what you're doing with it, you know, like, it's totally bad. You're getting into debt and you're studying something you don't love, and, like, it's just so crazy how mindless people can be. But that's just the world we live in. And but yeah, whatever. I mean, we'll attract different people, you know, and we'll reach newer levels. So it's good. But yeah, man. So how old are you again right now? You're 20.
I'm 21.
21. So what, you just turned 21 or recently?
Nah, I turned 22 in September.
Oh, September? So,
yeah.
Nice. Did you go drinking on your 21st?
No, I don't drink. I don't drink, no.
Wow. That's rare in the UK, isn't it?
Mm.
Isn't that rare in the UK to not drink?
To not drink?
Yeah.
But if you're from like a Muslim background and kind of Asian culture, you grew up, you don't really drink, to be honest. That was also another thing as well. I understood the implications of alcohol, like from a young age, you know. Mm-hmm. Alcohol comes from the word al-ghul. Al-ghul, which basically means body eating spirit, you know.
Really? That's where alcohol comes from?
Alcohol comes from al-ghul, and
body eating
also
spirit.
Derived from another kind of word which stands for al-ghul, which basically in the Arabian times, they used to put black eyeshadow on their eyes, right? This was the substance, al-ghul, I think it was called, and it was used to protect them from spirits as well.
Alcohol was?
The black substance that they put on their eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay. It basically means ghoul, and a ghoul is a body-eating spirit.
Wow.
And so the implications of alcohol, you know, like, you put yourself in a vibrational frequency that makes you susceptible to darker entities to take over and hijack your body. That's why most people do things that they would never, ever, ever have done if they were sober, you know?
Mm.
This is what alcohol does to you. And I kind of knew this from a younger age. It was only until I started researching a bit that I found this out and kind of connected the dots a bit. I just didn't want to get involved with that. I knew that I could have good times doing, you know, without drinking and staying sober. So I never got involved with it, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's rare, but I mean, yeah, it's just interesting how nowadays it's like I need alcohol to have fun. It's like if you need alcohol to have fun, then why do you need it? You know, like,
yeah.
So, well, they say like to loosen up and to talk to girls, you know, usually that's the reason, like, yeah. Oh, I can't talk to girls unless I'm drunk, which is,
it's like masking in a problem that they have, you know, it's like masking something that you need to go deeper than that, you know, there's an issue there that's like will not be fixed by you drinking alcohol all your life.
Yeah.
You get me? Like, there's inner work that needs to be done. And then maybe, you know, you wouldn't need to do alcohol if you, I guess, became secure with yourself and your purpose, your beliefs, and your confidence and stuff. So,
How would you help people to find their confidence? And I think, like, it comes down to self-love, you know, and I think it's so, I mean, Mac Miller had a song called Self-Care, but then he OD'd after that album, which who knows what the real reason is, but that was the most played song on the album, Self-Care. And I think it's a message that, like, our generation really needs, because how many of us are taking care of our bodies and, like, you know, protecting ourselves, like, and protecting our heart and our bodies and our souls and spirit, like, how many of us are consciously doing that? No, if you're not conscious about it, then you're already losing. Because, like, this world is set up for you to lose. So if you're not consciously protecting yourself and growing, then good luck, you know? Like, so you're not going to survive. But, what is something that you would want your followers to know? Or maybe something that, like, you've done to help you find your purpose or, like, to love yourself or to, like, to be secure in who you are and not having to turn to, like, alcohol or drugs, you know?
I think one of the main things is pulling away from society and dissociating it from always having the feeling that you need to impress, always having the feeling that you need to stay up with latest trends and conform. Conformity is one of the worst things, in my opinion, you know. Once you get out of that societal trap, you will be able to express yourself in a way that's not depending on other people's beliefs and other people's opinions. You'll do what you'll do because you love it and that's who you are, you know. Also, I think solitude, spending some time alone and going deep within yourself. See, in today's day and age, you know, especially when you're involved in society, you put on a mask. Everybody has a mask. The book that I'm reading called Solitude by Anthony Storr, he says, everybody has a mask that they put on. And this is the persona. This is basically your ego, you know. This is how you interact with people, through this mask. Because this mask is developed by societal influences and opinions and conformity, basically.
Mm.
And being alone and having time alone and spending your time in solitude, you basically, what you do is you get rid of this mask and you become familiar and you start to appreciate the person behind the mask, your true self. You start to become secure with it. Through doing reading, through just doing self-development things, finding knowledge, growing your knowledge base. And this is important because you can then go out in society, or you can then go out into the big world or whatever, and you won't have this mask or this need to feel that you need to impress somebody else's opinions or conform. You'll be true to yourself. You don't need a mask anymore, you know? So yeah, solitude is a great thing. Look, like, if, you know, don't just take my word for it. Look into people that have done it. All the great writers, all the great poets, all the great creative artists, they spend their time in solitude. Even successful people as well. So look into it. Look into the benefits of, you know, spending some time going deep within yourself. I think one of the other words, I'm not sure about the philosopher who says this, it's called shadow work, where you start to go, you know, you start to question your inner fears, your inner intentions, and you do some shadow work on yourself. So look into that and, you know, your finances. But I think the main thing, the main principle I would say is just to dissociate yourself from society. From societal norms and opinions and conformity. Yeah.
Or if you don't, then you'll just be like everyone else, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like everyone else, so let's see, what are some things, you know, because I'm sure people, I mean, you do stories, which is awesome, and that's how they get to know you and stuff more, but like, I'm sure they haven't, like, they don't know the struggles that it took to get to where you are. You know, for example, like for me, podcasting, people don't know how scary it was for me to, like, even, you know, just talk. And I don't like hearing my voice, you know, sometimes. Well, I shouldn't say that. But yeah, I mean, I just don't like, I don't like
putting myself
out there. You know what I mean? But it's like, I realized that this is not about me and this is bigger than me. And if I don't step up, like, what are the pros and cons? You know, like, what are the pros and cons to me not taking that risk? And what are the pros and cons to me taking that risk? So, I mean, I took that risk of leaving med school, which I'm so thankful I did, because I believe I had a choice, too. I think I could have easily just been like, no, I don't want to. But for me, my fear of missing out on what could happen was greater than my fear of, like, security, right? I just hate how people, like, think it's secure to have a job when if you die the next day they don't give a crap about you. They're gonna hire someone else to fill your spot. Like, you're just another number. Like, you're a statistic. Like, you don't matter to them, because, you know, life will go on. They need to keep making money. So it's like, yo, like, I don't want to just not matter, you know. Like, I want to do something that matters. And but it's not easy. Like, I don't think people know how daily, almost, like, you gotta struggle with this fear and even maybe anxiety, and it's because you're doing something different, and it's because you're choosing to stand out, and at the end of the day, it's like, I guess, spiritual, like, warfare in a way. You're like, there are things that don't want you to break out of your shell. Like, there are things that want to keep you down, And it's how we've been conditioned since we're born, but you know, we're meant for so much more, like so much greater things, you know. Like we're so powerful and we're so glorious, we don't even know, you know. And I don't know if you know Marianne Williamson.
She's
like a spiritual person, but she says, like, who are you not to be great? Who are you not to be amazing? And like people see, you know, maybe people like you and me, and they're like, wow, how could I ever be like that? But like, no, like, you got to realize we were just like you, but we just made a decision that we want to do something different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I totally believe ordinary people can become extraordinary people just by their choices. And it's not like, oh, you have to have a crazy bad traumatic childhood to be the next Oprah. Like, no, like, it just takes a decision, and it just takes, you know, momentum. So kind of, could you share some struggles and hardships you had to overcome? Oh, you kind of shared it, like your family and the health problems, or kind of maybe some of the inner struggles that people don't know, that like, wow, Azeem actually had fear, or he actually had anxiety, he actually had whatever it is that came to your mind. Like, what is that thing that you want to share that you had to overcome? You know?
Yeah, so I was a confident child, like up until I think I was in year 10 years old or something. I was a pretty confident child, you know. I was laughing, I was, you know, speaking in front of whole classes, joking around. And I remember this moment where I went to like a pretty posh school, right? It was like a grammar school, it was one of the best schools in the UK. And I went there for my first year. I was like 12 years old. And it was one of the best years of my life, you know. It was just incredible. This school was just so big, and friends were super rich guys. And it was just dope. And I remember I had to leave the school for financial reasons. And I had to go to the school next to my school. And this, next to my house, sorry. And this school, like, I would always be brought up knowing it was like a bad school, you know. Like, people were fighting every day and that. I was always scared, like, the people that were walking, like, past my house and stuff with these students. It was pretty known. It was known as a rough school. And I had to go to this school for my next year. And this fear of going into this school changed me completely. Like, I stopped being confident. I became insecure. I became fearful. And I remember a moment, like, I was told to read in front of the class, and as I was reading, I was shaking, my heart started beating, and I couldn't speak properly, like, and my teacher was asking, you know, what's wrong with you, I was like, I pulled myself together, and I was like, I just don't like reading, and she was like, all right, and passed it on. But ever since this moment, my confidence just went down the drain. I found it difficult speaking to people. I became a very introverted person, but like the not good introvert, you know, socially isolating myself. I did have friends, you know, I had a good high school life, but not the way I used to be, not the way I should have been, you know, and it was all due to fear. And like, I grew up like this. I even went to college a bit like this. I still had a bit of this fear, and you know, it changed me. I was a very introverted person. But what I noticed was the only way to get out of this, and I was reading books, I was reading self-development things, I was watching, you know, podcasts, I was listening to Warren Buffett and Ty Lopez and all these people, thinking that if I just listen to this person, that everything's going to change, you know, I'm going to get my confidence, I'm going to find my confidence in different ways. But deep down, what I found out was the only way that you're going to find your confidence and your true purpose is if you go out and do what you fear the most. And for example, when I started this page, I didn't post anything about myself. I didn't want to show my face. And because I was still in that mode of being fearful, of being introverted, being shy and all this, until I realized, like you said, what you said before, there's a bigger purpose to everything. I'm a part of something bigger. And so it doesn't matter whether I show my face or not, but it doesn't, like, it it literally doesn't matter. And all this fear that I have can only go if I start to literally just show my face. And this is what I started to do, is just approaching things that I fear head on. And that's the only way you're going to get better. So I started showing my face on, started slowly introducing myself to a point now where I posted my stories pretty much all the time, just speaking and stuff. And I wouldn't have done this years ago. I would have never done this. But it just shows that you just attack your fears head on. As hard as it is, you can literally rewire your brain and be able to be that person that you pretty much were supposed to be. And it's like this, you know, this podcast thing that I'm coming on, this is the first podcast that I've been on, but I want to come on podcasts. I want to be able to speak with people on this kind of level. And I knew the only way for me to do this is if I say yes, you know, to anybody. And this is what I'm doing. You know, I'm facing my fears exactly pretty much right now, by doing something that I would never have done and that I feared. So attack your fears dead head on. It's the only way, you know, reading books and listening to entrepreneurs and other people, it won't help you until you put it into practice and you go ahead and do it yourself.
I think, yeah, people see only the success. They don't see all the things that go behind it. And, you know, for those who are listening, you know, and in the future too, like, just know whatever fear that you have right now is pointing you in the way you should probably go. You know, I think someone said fear is a good marker, like, indicator of what you should be doing. You know, like, if you fear something, then do it. Like, because the reason you fear is because you're afraid of stepping into the light. You're afraid of stepping into, like, all that you're meant to be. And so, like, yeah, for you, it might be this podcast. For someone else out there, it might be starting their first YouTube video or channel. And it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be like you do it once and it works out forever. It's like, no, it's a daily process of, like, redesigning yourself and recreating yourself. And that's the beauty of it. Like, we have the power to become whoever we want, you know. And we could design ourselves to be whoever we want, which is crazy. Like, you could be the next president if you wanted. You know, if that's truly, like, you have unwavering faith and, like, massive action, you could get there. And and you see that through other human beings, like The Rock or, like, David Goggins. I don't know if you know David Goggins.
Yeah.
The ultra. Yeah. He's crazy.
Navy SEAL.
Yeah, Navy SEAL as well. Let's see. Yeah, before we wrap up, I always end my interviews with this question too. Like, if you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, maybe in high school when you were at that moment, like, you know, you were struck with fear of speaking in front of the class, and there's a kid out there, you know, who is going through that today. You know, there's a kid out there who is living in fear, and they're paralyzed. And what is something that you would say to your younger self, if you could, now that you're where you're at, you know?
Yeah. Firstly, I would say, like, whatever happens, I'm a firm believer of everything happens for a reason, right? And it's only until time passes you actually realize, like, you piece the puzzle together and say, this is why this happened in my life. This is why this happened in my life. So, first of all, I would say to this person, you know, everything happens for a reason. There's a reason why you're going through a kind of an episode where you feel fearful. Okay, it's happening for a reason, and it's always the same conclusion. It's life teaching you a lesson. It's life teaching you what it's like to not be confident, so you have an experience that, you know, you can learn from. And I would say the only way that, if you're still having this fear, to overcome it or to challenge it, is if you, you know, if one of the fears you have is speaking in public. Only way you're going to beat this if you start speaking in public and get yourself, you know, and go in with it, with the expectation that you're going to fail sometimes. You're going to feel nervous. You're going to feel scared. But just know that once you, there is another side to reality that is so much better than what you're going through now. And you just got to do the dirty work, the scary work, and then there's light at the end of the tunnel, always. Always.
Yeah, and don't give up, you know. Yeah, don't ever give up on yourself. Don't give up on your family. And most part of yourself, like, don't give up on yourself, you know. And
Yeah, I
see so many people, they disqualify themselves. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I said definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But so where can people find you? It's Found Conscious, right? On Instagram.
Yeah.
And also your personal, it's Azeem?
It's Azeem, yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks, Azeem, for taking the time to hop on, and hopefully this is the start of many more, you know, podcasts and speaking.
Much appreciated, right?
Yeah.
So, being on.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Azeem, and, you know, please shoot us a DM on Instagram on how this interview has helped you or encouraged you. We'd really love to hear your feedback, and we check all our messages, so we'll be sure to reply to you. You could DM Azeem at it's Found Conscious on Instagram and me at ray.on. And also, if you guys are interested in learning how to grow your Instagram or how to use it for your business, sign up for my emails or shoot me a DM. The link's in my bio, and I'll be sure to get back to you guys that way. So yeah, hope you guys are really able to take responsibility for your life. Stop, you know, being a victim and be a victor of your life, and really take what has happened to you in the past and use it to create something beautiful and amazing that can help people and benefit people. So yeah, I hope you guys are really encouraged by this interview, and please, like, interact with us. You know, we're people too, and we would love to hear your feedback on what you thought of this episode. And if there's anyone else you'd like me to interview, send me a message, and I'll be more than happy to look into that. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this interview with Azeem. We'll see you guys on the next episode.